everyone, and welcome to the Geek Night In, episode 6. Hooray! We've got slightly more people than last week. We're slowly building up a full party of adventurers again. Hooray! You've got me, Laura. Hello. We've got Tilly.
Hello.
We've got Gemma.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about geeky things and stuff because that's apparently what we do. I'm getting slightly better at hosting. Hooray! I'm slightly less awkward. Right. I know.
Sorry, I don't mean to
Just
laugh so much.
that's fine.
You do a
Just
great job, yeah.
embrace the awkwardness. That's how you win over crowds. It's like that, I'm embracing my awkwardness. It's endearing to people. It's fine. But yeah, we're going to jump right in this week. Things to talk about. I have a topic that Gemma brought up in an email in our planning things that I'm very excited to talk about. Gemma, do you want to talk to us about the new series of Heroes?
Yes, although there's actually not much to go on to talk about. As far as I know, no more news has been announced. Basically, this goes back a couple of weeks to the announcement of Heroes Reborn, which it amuses me the way they pitch it because it's described as a 13-episode mini series. Only American series could do like that. But yeah, basically, they're launching a new thing with new characters. Although they're not ruling out the old characters coming in and making appearances. And I gather it's going to be kind of a reboot, but with allusions to what we liked most about. Because series one, I loved it. Series two, yeah.
Well, that
But they've
yeah.
learned, apparently.
Here's my thoughts. For anyone that doesn't know, Heroes was a TV show that ran on was it on the B it was on the BBC, wasn't it? In the UK,
Yeah,
I
I think
think.
BBC had it,
Yeah,
yeah.
and it was this show about people that had all these various superpowers, and there were some really interesting people. Like the main villain was this person who he could take other people's powers, but to do so, he had to slice open their head and eat their brains.
Was that Zachary Quinto?
That was Zachary Quinto. Yes,
Excellent.
this is where I know Zachary Quinto from, is because in my head he is Spock, but every time I look at Spock in the new Star Trek films,
It's
I
Siler.
imagine him slicing someone's head open and eating their brains for
Yeah.
power.
Although it never actually did eat their brains. There was a point at which they alluded to that in one of the episodes.
In my mind, he eats the brain. But yeah, but that it was a really good superhero show in its first couple of series, and the problem that I think most people agree it had is the first series was fantastic. The second series was good, but not quite as good. And from season three onwards, the show just kind of really spiraled into a really bad place and became very convoluted, and everyone gave up watching it. So I'm excited about this in that I hope it means that because they're not ruling out the original series cast and plot lines from happening, I think this is just their chance to expand that universe a bit and keep like
Sorry.
exploring what was good about it while being able to avoid the train wreck that everyone unanimously told them was terrible. That's my
And it's
hope.
sad given that the train wreck seemed to be basically, for me anyway, it was summed up by Peter Petrelli. The fact that in the first episode he discovered he had this power to absorb superpowers from people around him. But of course he had the problem that it becomes all powerful. So in the
Yes.
second series they removed that ability and sort of tweaked it a bit so it could only hold one. And from that point it just kind of fell down.
He was a weird person to have as a hero for a story because that first series, he definitely walked the line of being like, is there a, I can never remember if there's a male term for a Mary Sue, but like the
Marty Stew.
Marty Stew, that's a good, that works. He was a bit of a Marty Stew, or walked the line of becoming one, where because he could use the powers of anyone he'd been near, like it started off with, hey, he doesn't know how to use these powers. Oh, now he's got control of them. He's like the all-powerful character. Oh, wait. Like they eventually did do some stuff that was interesting to like limit his power. Like once he was around Siler, he got Siler's insatiable bloodlust for killing people to forcibly take their powers. And like there was some stuff where he couldn't handle the amount of power he was taking on, and they did some interesting stuff with that. The problem was, as the series went on, like in order to try and limit his power, they very much turned around and were like, okay, you're too powerful, we're gonna limit a lot of your abilities, and he suddenly became a lot less cool. Which is a shame. But
Yeah.
I have faith. I'm excited about watching more heroes, and I will give it the benefit of the doubt that it can be good again.
Yeah, what's fun is the actor who played, I think it's Masi Oka plays Hiro Nakamura, had tweeted soon after the announcement saying, "Oh, should I polish off my katana then?" Which sounded fun.
I really
Get
hope he
Hiro
comes
back into
back.
it.
His story was great. He's basically a t his ability is that he can time travel. Was yeah, he can time travel, but like there was this really weird thing where he when he got to could he teleport as well? Yes, he could teleport as well. He ends up going to America and he finds this comic book all about himself. And he, for the first series, he was really obsessed with trying to live out his destinies by copying his comic book self, which it then later turned out it's because there was a comic book artist who could paint the future, which was like there were some interesting things that tied in. Anyway, other topics we need to talk about. Tilly, you've got a list of books you want to talk about this week.
Yes, well, I started reading Chaos Walking again this week, and I'm very excited, and it's made me remember all the other books I love because for some reason I can never just read Chaos Walking. I have to go through all my favorite series and read those.
Do you want to sum up the first book in the Chaos Walking series to just give people an idea of what the series is about? Because I love
I
it. I
can
think it's
try.
the best.
It's basically it's set on another planet, like humans have destroyed our planet, and it's set it's about this boy called Todd, and he lives in this town on this other planet, and there's this germ in the air that creates what they call noise, which is basically like all the thoughts that you have are put outside your head for everyone to hear, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
Like
it's
your
one.
thoughts are like broadcast to everyone, and there are no women in this village, like they're all gone, and he's told that it's because the noise germ killed them, and for some reason only men were
It kills women, but for men, it makes their thoughts audible to everyone. That's how it affects people differently.
So then he finds like he finds a girl, basically, like a girl from Earth crash lands on his planet. And
The interesting thing about how he finds her, though, is that it's the he originally initially finds her because he finds this one spot where he can't hear people's thoughts, like these thoughts that people have, the noise is it's a constant, it's something that's always everywhere all of the time, it never stops, and he discovers this girl because he finds this one spot where it's like there is a spot there where there is an audible silence, I can hear silence, and that's weird, there is no
Yeah,
silence, there
because
is
all
no other
the
people's
wildlife
thoughts.
and stuff has this noise as well. So like squirrels running around will have noise coming from them as well. So when he finds this girl, there's just this one, like spot where there's no noise.
And it, yeah,
And
it's her.
And then like there's this backstory in the first book that like it becomes a lot more prominent in as the trilogy goes on, but there was this war with the native species that lives there, which is called the Spackle, and he thinks that they've all been killed off, but they haven't. And it's like when I think about it, it does. No, never mind. I got confused. I thought
That's
I was
okay.
thinking of Avatar for a second.
That's fine. Well, I was just going to say, what I really like about the Chaos Walking trilogy is that it's kind of it's designed to be a young adult series. Like it's definitely designed to be approachable to a younger readership, but it's not afraid to bring up some pretty big topics. Like much like the comparison to it, like when you just mentioned Avatar a minute ago, that it's not afraid to bring up some pretty big political issues to do with like how various countries view people for like people from outside and like once like I quite like there's a lot of interesting political comparisons to be made to current white Americans compared to Native Americans and the sort of structure between how the two group those two groups view each other. I think there's some interesting parallels that are drawn in this book, but
Yeah,
then
and then it's the like the noise is a it's a metaphor for technology and like how we can all reach each other all the time and how like the information can start to become overloading or
Yeah,
something like that.
no, exactly. There is a lot of very high theme, like quite grand themes that are covered in what is, at least initially, very much a children's book that it does a very good job of, as the trilogy ramps up, it definitely increases the tension, the drama, and the risk that's going on, and sort of suitably raises the stakes in a really interesting way. Like, it's a really good series. It's really, for me, it really sort of grabbed at me, and I love that series. Like, I recommend it so highly to anyone,
Everyone.
regardless of age. Like, my mum loves that trilogy,
My sister
and
loves it and she's 10.
yeah,
So,
my mum,
honestly, regardless of age,
yeah,
yes.
I'm not going to say how old my mum is. I'm not going to name her age, but she is definitely older than 8 or 10. She's definitely in the double digits of age. But yeah, it's a really good, accessible series, and like, I really like the writing style as well. Like, it's written from Todd's perspective, who he's not particularly well educated, well, shall we say. Like, you it, his it, it's a, interestingly written at first, and like, some of the writing style definitely makes it an interesting read. There are
Described
very,
like that, it
yeah.
sounds like a very good gateway thing to broader, like high fantasy kind of things, perhaps. Because
Definitely, yeah.
there's a certain level of vapidness sometimes put to young adult kind of novels. Like, they might be a bit shallow or something. This is probably just the bad ones anyway, but yeah, it's nice, always nice to hear something that takes an approachable thing and then just sort of ramps up the detail, I guess. Yeah.
Definitely. It definitely gets its pacing on that sort of stuff done really well. Like it's one of my favorite series for just like I get to the end of one book and I desperately have to start the next and sort of go right through them. They are a brilliant series like that.
Yeah, I have to read them all in the same day because if I don't, then I've read it like 100 times and I still lie in bed going, "What's gonna happen next?" It has to happen. I have to find out what happens next. And it's like, I
It's
know
like,
what happens, but I still need to read it.
just Tilly, the end of book one. Ah,
The end of book two, excuse you.
oh, okay, the end of book two as well, but the end of book
And the
one is
end of
the,
book three.
okay, and the end of book three, but the end of book one is the always the one where I'm like, ah, oh, yeah, they did the thing. Oh no.
Well, the end of book three is like that for me. It's
This
like,
series
ah,
is
oh, they did the thing. Oh, wait.
okay, just take our word on this, that this series is really good at book-to-book cliffhangers. Like, they end on some of the greatest moments of, yes, finally, oh God.
Oh, and then there's, oh, I don't
Ah.
want to spoil it. I don't know how much I can say, but basically, it turns out that the noise germ doesn't actually kill the women. I know,
I will
I know.
say, if you're going to say it turns out is always a bad way to start a thing you're not going to spoil.
Yeah, I know, but I want to talk about the ask and the answer and how it deals with like sexism and stuff and I
Yes, I
just
think that's a good thing to say, is the third book in the trilogy,
no, the second.
the second, sorry, I'm bad tonight. The second book in the trilogy does bring up some really good points about sexism and gender politics.
It's
It's
this
wonderful. I
sounds
just, girl.
It sounds like a rather stark contrast, actually, to a particular book I dislike, which is probably like a bad topic for this
No,
podcast, I guess. But
go on, I'm curious.
Oh, we can talk about books we don't like.
when you talked about a thing killing off women, it sounded like the opposite to a book called Maul by Tricia Sullivan.
I don't know about this book.
I don't think
What
I've
can
heard
you
of this.
tell us about it?
It's in two halves, effectively. Half of it is a virtual reality construct of a shopping mall, which features a female character basically involved in gang wars, and that part of it is actually rather good. It's rather entertaining and that sort of thing. The other half of it is kind of framed around the man who's imagining it all and feeding it into the virtual reality. But it's in a world in which there's been what they call the Y plague, which has killed off 90% of all men. So women have become dominant. and there's a whole sort of misandric kind of society built around this. It ends up being
I
thoroughly
quite like
uncomfortable
that.
reading.
That sounds very interesting too. I think I've brought this up briefly before, but have I mentioned to either of you the comic series Why the Last Man before? Yeah. Now see, that is an interesting one because that's again another one based on a sort of similar to the Y Plague, one of these as I believe it's every living creature with a Y chromosome, animal or human or whatnot, has died. And other than this one character and his pet monkey. So what you've got left in the world is a world that is full of, there's a couple of exceptions to this, but it's primarily women and trans men are the people who are alive in that world, which they do a decent job of tackling that issue. But like, it's interesting. Again, like, there are some interesting narratives to be done out of Y Plague stuff. But what particularly about this one do you not like?
I've ended up feeling like, I mean, people are very welcome to disagree with me, but I ended up feeling like the way that the author wrote it actually came across as quite misandric as well. I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah,
Misandristic.
yeah. Came across
Misandristic
as
sounds better.
a misandrist.
It ultimately gets to a point, but it feels like kind of an exercise in men suck sometimes, which,
I'll say this as a rule for this podcast. If it's a thing that we really don't like and that we're not recommending to people, feel free to spoil it. So, if it would help you to explain why you dislike it, then feel free to spoil it.
I don't know, I'd quite like to read it.
Well, I'm
Well,
curious
ultimately,
now.
there's not much
I
to
want to hear
spoil,
things and not
actually.
to. Okay.
It kind of goes along fairly predictable lines, and I've sort of spoiled a bit. I mean, once you read about a sixth of the way into it, you realise that the mall construct is actually part of the imaginings of the ultimately the main character, who he has some sort of mental issues as well. So he's put into this virtual reality maze basically in order to cope with the world. And yeah, it's been a while since I read it as well, so I
Well, one
wouldn't
thing
know
I'm
how to
curious about,
explain
did
that.
you say is it written by a woman?
Yes.
Okay, I'm trying to picture now. Like, I can see how, if done incorrectly, that could end up being an exercise in men suck. It's like the thing I think is really interesting about Why the Last Man is they've got a lot of female writers on the project in order to make sure they're getting things like characterization and dialogue correct, but the lead story writers are men. Which is really interesting to see men writing a story about how much men suck, which I imagine is probably a very different tonal thing to having a woman write a story about why men suck.
Yeah, I think it's partly because it's
Possibly.
contrasted with the other half of the story, which is set inside this mall, and the female character in that is very strong and determined. And again, it's kind of literally women are put in conflict with men, and men always come out of it poorly. And it's an analogue to what's going on in the meta story. But yeah, it's uncomfortable reading for reasons I can't quite pin down.
Okay,
But it's a worthwhile read still.
I'm curious enough that I'm tempted to read it anyway, just because I want to. I'm curious to find out what the problems are with it. But what did you say it was called?
It's called Maul, but it's spelt Maul as in well, MAUL.
And who's the author?
Trisha Sullivan, I believe. I'm going off
Okay,
memory there.
I may well try and give that a read just because I'm curious about it, but. Let's go back to books we like. Tilly, throw us another series that you like.
Well, actually, I was hoping to carry on the conversation about books we didn't like because
Oh,
I've read quite a few of those recently as
that's
well.
fine. Go ahead, tell us about books you don't like.
I can't remember any specific names, but like quite a lot of books I read are quite unremarkable, if you know what I mean. You know, like they're kind of cutesy. Like, woman goes through difficulties, man arrives and fixes it, rom-com type stuff. But for some reason, recently, the books that I've been picking out that, don't seem to be, they don't look like that at first, but then that's well how they turn out. I'm picking up a lot of books about women who
are trying to do these high flying careers, like they have careers that involve them working in big cities and away from their families, and involve them being away from home for quite a long time and not seeing their children as much as they would like. And it deals with the guilt that they feel going against their societal norms and, going against the societal norms of not being a stay-at-home mom or having like a little part-time job or doing anything that's seen as, particularly girly or and stuff like that. And that sounds really good. But my problem with it is every single one that I've read, and I've read quite a few of them now, is that at the end of the book, she gives up the job and she comes to live with her family instead. And it turns into, like, at the end, it turns into this kind of preachy, like, they're only young for, they're only young for a certain amount of time, and, everyone should be with their families and the kids need their mother. And it's like, well, that's not a very good message to be sending to people. It just really bothers me.
One sort of offshoot I wanted to do on that quickly is there's a video game that came out recently that tackles very similar themes but revolving around a man that I thought was a really interesting one called The Novelist. Basically, it's about a man who's written his first novel and it was a huge success, and he's really struggling with writer's block to do the second one. And it's a game about going through things with the family and trying to balance his personal needs versus the needs of his wife and his son. And like I think that handles quite well the balancing act of like getting what he needs to do done for his job balanced with the needs of, say, his child and making sure that he's getting enough time with his child and things like that. Which
Well,
I know it's a bit of an offshot, but
the main thing that bothers me about it is that a big part of the woman's decision in every single one of these books is that her husband feels emasculated.
yeah.
Her husband feels like, because she's earning more money than he is and she's the one at the job, he doesn't feel as intimate with her and he doesn't feel as, he doesn't feel as manly. And if I were with a guy and he started telling me that, I'd leave him, to be perfectly honest with you. Like, I wouldn't stick around for that. Like, either deal with it or leave, basically.
Yeah,
But, she
that's
gives up the job
irritating.
to, she always gives up the job so she can save her relationship and stuff. And it's like,
Like,
your
no, that
relationship was
it.
clearly not strong enough to survive in the first place if he can't handle the fact that you earn more money than he does.
Like, go be in a relationship who respects with someone who respects your right to be a high earner.
Exactly. Like, makes me really angry. I was talking to my mum about it last night and she got angry as well, so.
Oh, goodness. I wanted to bring up a book series. Again, I know we're kind of stuck on books for the second, but books are good. We can talk about books for a while. I want to bring up what's the trilogy called? The Philip Pullman one, His
His
Dark
Dark
Materials.
Materials.
Have we all here read His Dark Materials?
No.
Yes.
Okay, Gemma,
Letting the side down.
you have to read them. They are amazing.
I'm a
Yeah,
terrible
go
reader,
and read them right
unfortunately.
now. We'll wait for
Okay,
you. Go on.
go download the audiobooks. I will, like, if I have to, I'll buy you the audiobooks. Listen to them. Experience this amazing story. Do not go watch The Golden Compass.
Oh no,
Yeah,
I've
under
seen
no
that and hated
circumstances,
it.
don't watch it. Yeah, it's awful. It's horrible.
That is on par with the live action Avatar, The Last Airbender movie as worst adaptations of any great piece of media. Like that film.
And it did put me off the book somewhat. I mean, I've had a few recommendations for the books, and I will hopefully get around to reading them. But basically, I could not hate the main character any more after having seen the
Yeah,
film.
they make her out in the film to be this really spoiled little brat who doesn't know what's good for her, but and she kind of is like that in the Northern Lights, but like throughout the trilogy, she grows and she gets a lot better,
Well, that's the thing is, in the
you
book,
know?
she's like that for maybe a chapter or two, and then she starts being like, oh, wait, there's actually consequences to stuff. I need to start being mature and responsible about stuff. And actually, like, she starts being less stubborn and more actively defiant for definable reasons. And she grows and she's interesting.
And I really like the concept of, like, you know, that animal being a part of your soul. Like, I think that's really,
Yeah.
like, that's really interesting.
It's something they really gloss over in the film, but like
Gosh, yeah.
every person has this sort of spirit animal that's like connected to them, and it's a part of yourself. It's an inherent part of your being. And like the way that the story, basically it's a story about there's a society that is trying to break the bond between children and their demons. And
It's what they're called,
yeah,
demons, is, you know.
it's the name for these animal spirits. And basically, like, there's all this really interesting stuff about how it basically it's turning these children into empty husks that feel incomplete as people.
And they don't
And
survive long.
they don't survive long, but there's this, like, sort of religious moral argument going on about, like, the reasons why this has to be. And there's, again, like the Chaos Walking trilogy we were talking about before, it does some really interesting stuff with examinations of political structures. Like,
Yeah, and then by the end of The Amber Spyglass, it just kind of turns into a war on religion, to be
oh yeah,
honest.
this is why
Or not exactly religion, but against the church.
okay. You,
He's very
I would
against the
say it
church.
is a war against religion, because the first knowledge I had of this book was that my church banned people who went to my old church from reading this book, because pretty much the end of the third book in the trilogy is them going off to murder God. Like, I'm not afraid to spoil that much, because a lot of parents heard about that. The end of the trilogy is them going to murder God, is pretty much how it concludes. And the church did not like that. Well, I know that's not quite accurate how to say
I
it, but
wouldn't say that's the end. That's more the middle.
okay, but it's you know what I'm saying. A lot of the stuff is, it's like the author was it clearly had a very strong anti-Christian church agenda they wished to introduce through the story. But like, as long as you're willing to go into that and be like, okay, this is the author's biases, and know what that is, that presents a really interesting lens for the story. But it's a
Well,
very obvious lens.
it's interesting to
Sorry.
hear that, actually, because, like you say, they did gloss over that in the films. I'm referring back to the link between the characters and their animal spirit things. So that reminds me of a book called Zoo City. I don't know if either of you've read
No, I
it.
haven't.
No, I haven't read
But to
that
hear
one.
it compared to this one, I'm very interested to read it now.
It was featured in, I think, the first Android Humble ebook bundle,
Oh,
which is where I came
I
across
probably
it.
have a copy of it then. I've not read it, but I probably have a copy.
I will avoid spoiling as much as I can then. Yeah, I thoroughly recommend it. It's one of my favourites from the bundle, and it is about it's set in South Africa, and it features people with animal spirits, but it's actually wrapped into mythology in the book, in which those animals are only bonded to people who've committed some sort of crime, and if I remember rightly, it is murder. So if you've murdered someone, you end up basically this spirit will just find you and then attach itself to you. And it tends to be representative of your general personality. So different animals have different temperaments, all that sort of thing.
That
Yeah, it's set in the main character is a somebody who writes spam emails and is basically a con artist. And it's all a really fascinating
this
premise.
sounds fascinating. I need to read this.
Yeah, I thoroughly recommend people read it. Unfortunately, the author's name escapes me, but it's just called Zoo City.
Zoo
And
City. I'm going to search my email, see if I have this now, so let's see also if I can find the author. Lauren Bokes, is this the one?
think that rings a
Lauren
bell.
Bukes. I don't know if I can pronounce that right. Yeah, Zoo City. Lauren Bukes, South African author. Lauren Bukes, 2010 science fiction novel. Yes, I have a copy of it sat in my inbox from the Humble Bundle.
Oh, can you forward it on to me?
Yes, I will forward a copy over to you.
Excellent.
This looks really interesting. Hooray, we found new books to read.
Yeah, huzzah for
Yay.
DRM-free ebooks as well.
Great. Everyone loves DRM-free ebooks.
I'm hoping that there are other books in that series released, because I've just been reminded now that I really need to try and track them down, because I got thoroughly into this thing.
I'm having a look now to see if are there plans for sequels or anything? Oh, apparently there's a planned film adaptation.
Well, that will be interesting.
In November 2013, Donovan Marsh was announced as the prospective film's director. At this time, Marsh was blah, blah, blah. It's scheduled to go into production in the second half of 2014.
I will say this now. I will be following news of that.
Yeah.
Very keenly.
Hooray, things we found out today. I'm excited about...
I need to read it.
Yeah.
As quickly as possible in that case.
We need to do that. I will send you a copy, Tilly, and we will read this and we will find out what's going on.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, goodness. What?
And also we need to find out what's going on with the Knife of Never Letting Go movie, because I've not heard any new news about that in a
Neither
while.
Neither have I. I need to find out if there's more going on with that, because that needs a film. Except, like, the only thing is, I don't want them to make a film until they find a filmmaker that has a great idea of how to portray noise. Like, that is my one hang-up, is I want them to get that right before they do it.
Yeah, well, I go from you know, idea to idea, to be honest. Like, at the moment, I think it would probably... I think the way they would do it is, like, you know, in the book, when he shows you what noise looks like on the page, and
yes,
it's all, like, messy and stuff.
Oh, God, yeah, there's...
The way I think of it in the film is that he will, from time to time, open up his noise to let us hear it, but most of the time it would be just like another film.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I would like to see some good form of visual representation for it. The latest on a film adaptation for that was back in 2011, Lionsgate bought the rights to adapt the trilogy to film. There's some comments from the president of the company, but there's not really been much since. So that's a shame, but we'll...
Well, the other thing is that it could be like a visual thing, like, you know, in Sherlock, when yeah, he gets the text and the texts are written on the screen. Well, they could do it like that as well, like show it pretty much how it is written in the book.
Yeah. Again, there are questions as to how you do that without obscuring too much of the surrounding world and like how you keep...
Well, I'm sure whoever writes it will figure
it out.
That's
it. That's what I want, is I want them to wait until they find someone with a really good idea of how to deal with those kind of elements before they start work on it. But hooray. Let's see. I'm going to change topic away from books a bit and talk about something I did this week.
No.
Well, it's fine. We can come back to books in a minute. I want to mention a video game. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. I played South Park, The Stick of Truth this week. I had some thoughts and opinions and feelings on this. I will try and sum this up as best I can. South Park, The Stick of Truth is without a doubt the most faithful TV or movie or non-interactive media into a video game adaptation there has ever been. There has never been previously, like, there is no other passive to active media crossover that has been as faithful as this. However, it's a real shame that it had to be South Park that was the first one to get that right. Because much like a series of South Park, there are times where it is really well written, has a really good finger on the trigger as to social commentary and political satire, and just like is really, there are times where it's really on the ball with its writing. However, there are odd moments where it crosses a line and becomes really awkward watching, and like odd moments that can possibly go too far. And like, I will come up with one example that is like a reason that I really have a problem with this as a game is that there are certain moments in South Park as a TV show that are, they cross a line, but they very quickly step backwards. They're like, oh, okay, well, we did that thing. We've had our laugh. We're going to back away now. And we'll very quickly move on. In this game, sometimes those kind of over-the-line moments are tied to quick time events where you have to mash a button to progress past them. However, some of these are far too difficult, and as such, you might be like me and get stuck on a scene that crosses over a line of what's okay for 35 minutes, having to watch that scene on repeat because you can't get past it because you can't tap a button fast enough. Mm. So, for this particular example, I'm going to try and think of the least triggering way to talk about it, or the best way to mention it without it being problematic. But It's a scene involving alien probing and involving a child. So I spent 35 minutes stuck on a scene in which there was anal probing of a child. And whereas in a TV show that would have been a 10-second scene and gone, here it got to the point where it was shocking, and then it was worse, then it was worse, then it got desensitizing, and then the fact that I was getting desensitized to it got horrible. And the fact that like I'd become numb to the scene made me feel worse. So that's the thing, is that like this game looks at and feels and is paced like the show until moments like that where they do jokes that go over the line, and then because you can't get past them, they get further over the line and further, and you can't step back from them. And that's a problem. So that's a thing I played this week.
I've heard some comparisons made to Conker's Bad Fur Day, which admittedly is not a game I've played, but I gather the humour is sometimes have a bit of crossover.
Conker's Bad Fur Day is known very much as being like the rude game on the Nintendo 64. The difference is, Conker's Bad Fur Day was crude, slapstick, childish humor. It never really crossed the line into terribly offensive. So, anyway, yes, let's move on from this topic. Tilly, books!
Yay, actually, while you were talking about that, I just went and got another one of my favorite series. So,
What series did you go get?
it's called The Last Dragon Chronicles.
This is one I don't know about.
Yes, you do. It's the one about the woman who can make clay dragons
Oh,
and then the clay
okay.
dragons come
This
to
is one
life.
I know about, but I haven't read. Tell us
Yeah, well,
about
it's
it.
really cool.
Tell us.
Because I have this, I love dragons, and it all kind of stems from this series, and it gets really complicated because there's 7 books in the series, but basically it's about a guy called David Rain, and he's a student, and he moves in with this woman called Elizabeth Pennykettle, and her daughter Lucy, and it's meant for children much younger than me. It's like the suggested age guide is 8 to 13, but yes, but I love it because it goes in so many weird directions, you know, and like David Rain dies at some point and then he comes back and it turns out that his daughter is like Jesus and like the dragons and polar bears like used to coexist and they're like, you know, great natural allies, and
Oh, I
it
love this
sounds
already.
really
That it
ridiculous, but
sounds
it's great.
ridiculous, but it sounds like the
Really
greatest
good.
thing. I
Yeah,
need this in
it's
my life.
so
Why have you
good.
never explained it like this to me before? His daughter is Jesus and the dragons and polar bears lived in harmony. That's the greatest book ever.
Well, she's Dragon Jesus. She's the Jesus of dragons.
Okay, that's a good way to sell me on a series. It's about Dragon Jesus.
Well, it's not really about her. She's got a really small part in it, but she's. And it's about a squirrel, like a squirrel got a really big part in it as well. And then.
To read these.
It's really great.
Oh, goodness.
You know, it kind of like, you know, there are slightly ridiculous elements to it. Like when I explain it like that, it sounds ridiculous. But when you read
The
it, you
fact
get.
it sounds ridiculous is why I want to read it.
When you read it, you get completely sucked into it, and you don't kind of think of the fact, like, oh wow, this squirrel has the power of life and death, and is for some reason holding a dragon's claw that could bring the dragons back to life. It's just a kind of like, oh, okay, that's happening. Wow, okay, let's see what happens next. You know,
Exactly.
you get really sucked into the world building, and he's done such a good job of tying everything together that you don't even care.
What did you say this was called?
It's called The Last Dragon Chronicles, but they've all got different names. Like the first one is called. Hold on, I don't have the first one, so I'm trying to read it off the little
That's
picture on the
fine.
back.
I was gonna say that's fine. The series name should be enough for people to find it.
I think it's called The Fire Within. All the books have
Okay.
something to do with fire. Like the one
Oh.
I'm holding is called The Fire Ascending. That's the last
I'm
one.
just yeah, I'm just looking through a list of books trying to find ones that I used to read. Where is it? Artemis Fowl.
Blah.
Yeah, I'm aware you don't like those. I used to love those books.
I've got a faint memory of having read that once, but no memory of it at all.
It's not what I was looking for. I'm trying to find a series I read around the same time. I'm looking through a list of books, hoping it's going to pop up. It was a series of books about a teenage spy, pretty much, and I can't think what the series was called.
Oh, was it Anthony Horowitz?
Yes, it was the Alex Rider. Yes, the Alex Rider books. I loved those.
Yeah, I used to really like those as well. It gets to a point, like, I have the same problem with Skullduggery Pleasant now, in that I've caught up with, you know, there are so many books in the series, and now I've caught up with them, and then there's such a long wait till the next one that I kind of stop caring.
Well, I did the same. I'm like, I haven't read the last few of them, but I know I got into them when there were about four or five books, and it was a great series of, like, really good, like, over-the-top spy novels that they had some really interesting premises to them. Like, I remember the premise to one of them was that that Alex Rider was going undercover, basically trying to retrace the steps of a spy who'd gone missing. And as such, he'd gone undercover as an immigrant from some country. So he's basically like trying to make all these all these illegal cross-border journeys without a passport and things, and traveling with, basically it spends a lot of the book traveling with illegal immigrants. And it was really interesting the way it handled some of that stuff. And like every book has like this really interesting premise to what's going on with it. And I loved them. I thought they were great.
Yeah. I think another problem I had with them is I think I read up to Cobra Head or Snake Head or something to do with a snake.
Yeah, I
read up to that one.
A snake on the cover.
Yeah, I read up to that one, and by that point, I felt like it was all getting kind of tired. Like the storylines were the same, and he was doing the same things, and there was never any real like character development. It was just, you know, boy goes in, does exciting things, comes out again. It's like,
well, sometimes a book about exciting things is nice. Like,
yeah, but it's not really worth following as a series if pretty much exactly the same. Yeah.
Well, I got to a point where I gave up on the series as well. But like, I remember I remember less of the big overarching stories, and I remember more of like the individual moments that had me tense. Like, there was a great one where I can't remember if it's the first or the second book where he's basically has to get through this cave, and there's this underwater section. He has no idea how deep it's going to go, and he's trying to get through this thing, and he's holding his breath, and he gets caught underwater in the middle of this sort of U-bend of a underwater bit of cave he's trying to get through. And like, it's little moments like that that were just so well written that I have very vivid pictures in my head still sort of key moments.
Wasn't there that one where it was basically like the Hunger Games, where he had to take yes, it was like a computer game, but they actually had to kill each other in this computer game.
Yes, that one was good as well. I remember
that one was quite good.
The first one was made into a film, I think, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was.
I don't remember it being
particularly
good. It was Stormbreaker, was it?
Yeah. The one about the creatures and the jellyfish.
Yeah, it was okay. It's not the worst adaptation out there, but...
it's not Eragon, but it's not great either.
Yeah, it's, you know...
It's not Eragon, but it's not Game of Thrones, so...
Is that, I like that as a sliding scale, Aragorn to Game of Thrones.
I vote that'd be the official Geek Night In scale.
We've already had several official Geek Night In scales. I think that, like, wasn't it 2 weeks ago where our official scale was, does John Cleese turn into a frog, or does John Cleese not turn into a frog, was our sliding scale.
That's not really a scale.
It's a binary scale. A zero or a one. You can pass or fail.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely. I would definitely be up for that.
Okay, I like that
as a way of, you know, rating how well books get turned into movies.
We can have some nice midpoints in between. So it's like you start from Aragorn. Actually, no. Where should the bottom of that scale be? Should the bottom of the scale be Avatar?
Aragorn. Did you see the Aragorn movie?
Did you see the Avatar movie?
No, but did you see the Eragon movie?
Yes, the Avatar movie is worse.
I'm really sure it's not.
Watch the Avatar movie having now watched the series, and then tell me it's not worse.
No.
That's your homework for this week. Go watch the Avatar movie.
All right, we'll settle this on the podcast next week.
Okay.
I'll watch the Avatar live action movie and then we can decide where
the
scale starts.
We will argue this out next week. Have you seen either of those movies, Gemma?
No.
You have to watch both of them. That's your homework. Watch them both.
Oh, yeah. It's how you've convinced me
bother
so well.
With
yeah.
Aragorn.
Find them just illegally on the
really
internet
don't.
And watch them both.
Oh, dear. I don't think I'm going to look forward to that.
Have you ever read Aragorn?
No. See, I've got no point of comparison there either.
I think I've hit a brick wall here with the episode. Where do we go from here? Gemma, you had a question for everyone this week.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, again, I'm back in the UK at the moment because now I have to pack up my flat. But, yeah, it's called the toughest question I think I've come across, given that I'm a collector. I collect things. So it started with Sonic merchandise. It moved on to Ghost in the Shell. And now it's just any sort of gamey things I can get a hold of. But I had this problem when I moved to Sweden at first. It's like, what stuff do I take with me? What geeky things do I take with me? And I'm now at a point where I basically have to decide what goes in a barn or an attic and what comes with me to Stockholm. So I wondered what everyone else's thoughts were. Like, yeah. If you had to take one geeky thing with you to call it a desert island or just moving abroad, what would it be?
Does it have to be like one thing specifically, or can it be several things of the same kind?
Basically enough to fit in a suitcase.
Are you going
all
to say
books.
Your collection of dragons? Oh, okay, you're
no,
going
I'm
to
bringing
go with
my... The dragons can come too, because I'm pretty sure they'd fit in a suitcase. The little ones, anyway.
Let's say you're able to bring 10 books.
How many is in Mortal Engines?
I don't know how many are
one, two,
in
three,
Mortal
four,
Engines.
And then there's three in the prequels. So that's seven. That's too hard. I can't narrow it down to 10 books.
Okay. Well, while you're thinking about what you want to bring, I have walls that are covered in geeky stuff. And I've been looking around during this episode because I knew this question was coming, being like, if I could take one thing off of my walls and only bring one of the things on my walls with me somewhere, I instantly know what it would be. I have this really nice canvas print that was from the MCM Expo maybe 18 months ago, signed by its artist. And it's this girl in a t-shirt that says, okay. And on the back wall, there's like she's basically got black paint on her hands that she smeared BR to one side and EN on the other side on the wall around her. So if you look at it, it says broken, but her shirt says okay in very clear letters. And it's this really, like, I think it's absolutely beautiful. And it's a really nice, like, really nice quality canvas print. Like, that's the geeky thing I would take from my walls and be like, that's like, I could put that up and it looks like a piece of art.
Yeah.
As opposed to like all of my signed geeky posters and things that I could probably, you know, do without on my walls, if I'm honest.
Yeah,
I've narrowed it down to 20 books. Can I take 20?
You can take 15.
Hold on.
You have to get rid of 5 books.
Carry on. I'll be back.
Actually, things on walls is an interesting one because I've kind of worked my way around this problem. One of my most treasured pieces, which I've never done justice to, is a cinematic poster of Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. And I mentioned this in the previous
Oh, wow.
podcast. It's my favourite poster ever.
Yeah.
Basically, that film is so niche that I can genuinely lay claim to owning every single piece of official merchandise that was ever released for it. It includes
Oh, my goodness.
My bookmark is a film cell from... brilliantly, it's one of the flappy wing robots from when Sky Captain's base is being attacked. But yeah, they did these film cells inside bookmarks. So that is my bookmark.
My word, wow.
There is very little merchandise being released for that film. It
I wish there was anything I loved that much.
So I've got the soundtrack, the poster, and the bookmark. That basically seems to be everything that ever got released.
I'm looking around for like more substantial things rather than like an art print, if like I could take one thing. I'm surprised you didn't go straight for Companion Cube.
Oh, no, Companion Cube travels with me. That's a given.
Well, I know it's a given, and you've mentioned that on the podcast before, but I assumed that like you'd go with your obvious answer.
Yeah.
Well, the co
Well, yeah.
I think you can take one thing and the companion cube, because like the companion cube would be with you anyway.
Well, the companion
Yeah.
cube comes with me in hand luggage. You
Yeah,
see, it
exactly.
genuinely does. It comes
So
with me on plane, so that's how I get around
yeah,
that.
so that's fine. And then you can save one other thing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to wangle my way into more books. Is it working?
Well, I'm thinking,
No. Well,
because this
if
is
we're
a
going that
practical.
way, you could. Oh, sorry, go on.
Because this is a practical thing, I've got to do this on Sunday. I'm thinking of taking my, basically what I call my Raypunk shelf, which is Dan Dare, Sky Captain, and basically any sort of Raygun Gothic things. I've got books from those series. So I've got a couple of the first two volumes of the Dan Dare re-release series, which they did, which is utterly beautiful. Dan Dare is a 1940s, I think, comic strip that was done in Eagle. It's a British thing, and it features a space pilot in a world in which Venusians and Martians are around and all this sort of thing. It's and they the utterly gorgeous bits of art, comic art, and they release these as kind of steadily harder to get volumes. Basically, it's like hardback volumes. But I've also got like a Haynes manual for ships of the fleet from Dan Dare. So that's a favorite thing. Yeah, a
I'm
bunch of
looking
stuff like
around
that, really.
for anything else. The only other thing I can think of is something that Tilly currently has. Like it's on the same theme as the companion cube. There's a bunny rabbit that is a cuddly toy I've had since I was smaller than this toy rabbit. So
Well.
since I was very, very tiny. And it's one of those things. It's just like it's a if I was going to another country, that would be coming with me.
Well, it's on my list, so hopefully we'll end up going to the same island.
Well, no, if the if not, I'm taking it. So,
True. By the way,
well,
I haven't
I
managed to
request the
cut it
right to take
down.
it back at any time.
I
Pardon?
haven't managed to cut down on the books, but I have added some. I'm on 21 now.
I should
Okay,
ask, are
you can
these?
take 21 if you take no clothes with you.
I wasn't planning on taking clothes. I don't need clothes. I need books and dragons. I was trying to come up with a list of the dragons I would bring, like the ones that I definitely can't leave behind. And I've
Was
got
the
like,
list all of them?
no, it's just there's the two that you gave me, and then there's the one that my housemates bought me when I moved in to this house. And then there's the blue one and the purple one, like the two metal ones that are really heavy and just really intricate and detailed.
So basically, what we've decided is that you're going to completely exceed your luggage allowance by about 3 times while going abroad.
A little bit, yeah. I'd have to do several trips, but it'd be worth it. I'd just get my mum to post it over.
You know who just came online
Who?
right at the end of the podcast? Byron.
Ah.
Should we bully Byron and see if we can get him onto like the last 2 minutes of the show?
What geeky things would you bring?
I'll find out.
Oh, and my leopard would have to come too.
No, I'd actually I just remember that because I have done this like smuggling bits of my geeky collections over in trips. Actually, one of the first things to come over was my copy of Hyrule Historia, the Legend of
Oh.
Zelda art book, which
Yes, it's
is
beautiful. It's so beautiful.
it is a masterpiece. It's also unfortunately like telling me what I've missed about things like Skyward Sword, because I love Zelda, but I've only played like three of the games.
Oh,
I fell
well,
in
you need to
love
play more of them.
with Wind Waker. Twilight Princess is one of my favorite games ever, and I'm currently playing through A Link Between Worlds.
Okay, if you like those three games, you would love Skyward Sword. Skyward Sword is like those things smushed together.
Yeah, and seeing what I've read so far in the book just really opens my eyes. Yeah, so that's something I've already sneaked over, and that's a pretty hefty book, but it was
Yeah, it
worth
takes
it.
up most of your luggage allowance. I haven't read it, but I've seen it, so I know it's quite big.
Basically, what I love about the book is it's basically when Waterstones mugged me, because my partner and I walked into Waterstones, and that was on the shelf next to a collection of some 500 Raygun Gothic pulp book covers. So it's a mixture between
split. I hate it when that happens.
When you get like sci-fi mixed in with like noirish detective novels, and it's just like,
yeah,
just take my purse.
Just you do it. Don't tell me how much it is, because otherwise I will hate myself. Just take it all. I get that whenever I go to bookshops.
They had these holographic bookmarks, and there were penguins on them, and you could tilt them, and the penguins waddled, and it was just it was the end of it.
Update: Byron will not be joining us for the final couple of minutes. He is dealing with actual real life stuff that's kind of more important than podcasting. Shock and horror. Yeah, I know.
That's not right.
Well, he's running an event, and stuff happened, and it's like, okay, you should probably deal with that. So, he sends his regards. He can't make it, but he sends his regards. And we're going to make him come back, because Byron needs to come back, because we love Byron.
How much time have we got left? Have I got time to talk about one more book series?
Go on, tell us about one more book series.
Yay! It's the Mortal Engines prequel that I really only wanted to mention, because it's not even finished yet. There's supposed to be 4 books and they're only up to 3. And in the last book, the main character is revealed to be bisexual, which is my favorite thing, is LGBT representation in books that I love. So when it was revealed that she's, you know, dating a girl, I kind of flipped out a little bit. I was so excited.
Aww.
It's so great, because like the second book, she spends it mooning over this boy, and like most of the third book as well, and then she meets this girl and she's like, what boy? I don't know a boy.
Okay.
You're gorgeous.
I instantly now know how to make you love any piece of narrative I write.
It's got
like, surprise bisexuals.
It's not just bisexuals, it's mostly lesbians. Girl on girl relationships, that's what I'm into.
Is this something that needs to happen? Like, I'll be sat next to you while you're playing through my game for the first time, and then just you'll turn around a corner and I will be sat next to you and shout, "Surprise lesbians!"
So I want a screen mock up like in Super Mario Sunshine, you know, shine get.
Surprise lesbians. Okay, I have my work cut out for me, but I'm going to try and do some Photoshop work so that we have a nice image for the podcast.
Awesome.
Surprise! Lesbians!
My criticism of any piece of media is like, well, it's good, but it needs more lesbians. Apart from Orange is the New Black, that's got enough lesbians.
Yeah. Okay, that is definitely the episode title as well. This is episode 6, Surprise Lesbians. See, that's the thing. We need something every episode we can jump on as a title.
People are going to think that, you know, someone's come out in this episode as a lesbian.
We could do that. I don't know if we've done that on the air. Lesbians,
Lozzie, yeah, I have something to tell you. I'm a lesbian.
Oh my god, that is such a surprise to me, the person that you are dating. I did not know this. Oh, no. Lily, I have a surprise for you too. I am also a lesbian.
How could you keep this from my trust? This is awful.
What even am I anymore?
It's okay, I still love you.
I forgive you, I still love you too. I'm glad we could make this work out.
That was easy.
Surprise.
I'll just say here in the pansexual corner.
Well, I am technically pansexual, but you know, lesbian is easier.
Lesbian's easier. Lesbian is the a woman here.
So, let's just go with lesbian, and then I can deal with pansexual later.
That's fine. You're not the only. I keep having to stop myself from saying pots and pansexual.
You've been spending too much time with Kelly.
I said that once, and now it gets stuck in my head. I'm like, no, it's pots and pansexual.
Yep, because that's really original.
That's a thing. Yeah. That's hooray. Big yawning. That's. I think we finished an episode. Yay! Hooray! That was an interesting end to the episode. Thank you very much for joining us, everyone. You can find me on Twitter at Laura K. Buzz, and you can see the other things I do on Twitter on IndieHaven.com, and you can find my podcast if you search IndieHaven on iTunes. Tilly, where can we find you?
It's at Gathering Tilly on Twitter, and you can see me angrily fight with ignorant bigots.
That's pretty much all you use Twitter
That's
for.
all I do. And to complain about fighting with ignorant bigots on other forms of social media.
Yeah, which we'll have to tell that story next week. I've just realized we didn't have time to tell that story.
Yeah.
We'll put it on the list for next week.
Okay.
Gemma, where can we find you?
I am Raygun Goth on Twitter, and my website kind of has links to most things. That's raygun-gothic.net. And that will mostly
Great.
be filled with probably CGD stuff after this week, because I'm going to be at the Conference for Game Developers in London.
Yeah, I'm going to be there, and I found out that I'm doing my talk that I knew I was doing. I'm also on a panel I didn't know I was going to be on, and I'm recording a podcast, so apparently I'm doing all of those.
Yeah,
So,
I'm on a panel as well, and I'll actually be showing a game for the first time, so that'll be fun. I mean, it's not an
yes,
official
I've heard
part of
that.
the conference or anything, I should add, but yeah, I'm taking
Yeah,
along
but I'll.
a demo rig and shoving it in front of anyone who play it, so that's going to be
Yeah,
fun.
I'll be seeing it. I'm excited.
I'll be at home having a sleep, probably, because
I'll
I
envy you
have a very
that,
exciting life.
because I'll have moved out of my
Hooray.
flat the day before, so I'll be envying you your sleep.
Having so you'll envy the fact she has somewhere to sleep.
Well, you're
Yes.
welcome to come to my house and catch up on some sleep. You can
Hooray.
just come round
So
and sleep, it's fine.